Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church.
Hey everybody, Pastor Damon and Taisha from City Place Church. We want to just welcome you here this Sunday morning.
Good morning.
City Place Church online.
That's right. City Place, where you at?
We are online. We're not in person.
No, we're not. We're not. Here we are. And yeah. There you are. We are in our living room this morning, and we hope that you are comfy and cozy, either in your living room or in your PJs. At least show us your bed hair or something.
Like, that's right.
Come on, get it on. This is what Sundays were made for. Like, we still gather together. The Bible says, be encouraged, gather together, brethren.
Right.
This is what God has created. So we would love to be the first to welcome you to City Place Church this morning.
That's right. Welcome to City Place Church. We have people literally watching on Facebook, online platforms, and YouTube, and we say welcome to every single person. Now, you have to tell us your name and where you're from. I'm sorry. Do you remember when we went to that circus?
That's right.
And they had a little tagline?
Yeah.
All right, so I think we need to do this with y'all. We went to the circus one time, and they were introducing themselves to people.
Ringmaster.
The ringmaster. And they came up with this little phrase, so we're going to share it with you, and then you can do it by posting on it. So tell us, what's your name, and where are you from? That's right. So put your name in the comment box and tell us where you're from. Our team is gathering together to just welcome you.
Yeah.
No matter if you are a part of City Place Church, or you have been invited today, or if you don't even go to church, we welcome you here. Let me tell you, it's okay to belong before you believe. We want to bring hope. We want to bring faith in the midst of what could seem like something that could overtake. And our goal is to present Jesus to you in a way where you say, I can't live without him. And so welcome every single person to City Place Church.
Yes, but we do want to know what's your name and where are you from. So be sure that as we're going to drop it in the comments. Last week we had people from everywhere. And here's the beauty of the season that we're in. Although some people can be like, oh man, I don't get to get together with the people that I love so much, and my kids aren't going to kids' church. Well, we have something for you today.
There's links for your kids.
There's links for your kiddos. To keep up with all of the things that God is speaking, all of the things we're learning. It's not stopping.
Right.
In fact, this is no surprise. I love that the season that we're in is so rich with technology and options and cool platforms where we can come into each other's living rooms.
That's right.
And so, but we live in a time where we get to do this.
That's
so
right.
We consider it an awesome privilege, and we love it.
That's right. So last week, our discussion, if this is your first time popping on with us. Last week, we just read a story in the Bible, and it included Jesus, because what we found over the years, personally, but also as pastors and just going through life, is that, man, Jesus is necessary and needed in the middle of the storms of life.
Yeah.
And we just decided that it was good to just kind of see his response, but also find some people that may have been walking through some things that it felt like it was going to be impossible.
Yeah.
And how did they respond, and Jesus's response. And last week we read a story of a guy, his daughter died, and he ran to Jesus. And amazingly, Jesus changed his life. And this week we were talking and we just said, why don't we just stay there?
Yeah. You know, we hear the stories and the accounts, and let's just acknowledge before we dive in today, we'll pray in just a moment and get started, but let's just acknowledge the times that we're in. And it's okay if maybe you woke up this morning and you said, this week has been crazy. You know, I'm a new homeschool mom. I am also trying to work from home. Everybody's working from home. Everybody's at home. My home is crazy. You know, if that's the state of your heart, or maybe you're like us and on information overload, just completely, totally, it's too much. Then it's become almost noise for it to be on the 24-hour reel. Like, we want to stay connected, we want to stay informed, but it's just too much. Or maybe you even find yourself this morning just overrun, or maybe even a little fearful or anxious. Maybe something is giving a trigger, or you've even done like the isolation mode where it's just like, I am just going to take a long nap and pretend this all never happened and I'll see you in March. Wow. You know, no matter where you find yourself this morning, we understand, or we serve a God who understands that sort of scene of chaos. And the cool thing about what we talked about last week, babe, in Matthew chapter 9, is that we see a scene of this sort of chaotic mess. Yeah. And there lies Jesus, ready to speak. And so last week we talked about those pivotal moments. We talked about the moments of time that are critical, that get God's attention and where he steps in. And today we'll be piggybacking off of that.
Yeah, last week we said, we just kind of had a thought, I'm in, dot, 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 a moment. And we challenged some of you to put, like, finish that phrase, I'm in a moment of stress, I'm in a moment of anxiety, or I'm in a moment that is peaceful. But then we said, we're in a moment where Jesus can really show himself. And I'll tell you what I'll do to catch everybody up. We'll pray, and then I'll book in the story, and then we'll just tell it. That way we can maximize our time together. And we encourage you to read all of it, but we'll just book in this morning for sake of time. Father, we thank you for our time together. We're so grateful for everyone that's watching this morning. We don't take it lightly, Lord God, that you would allow us the opportunity to gather together all over. And God, we're just grateful that we live in a season where technology exists to where in moments of distancing, we don't have to be isolated. And so we just invite you here. Encourage us today. Give us faith and allow us to encounter you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 9, our team's going to be posting how you can find it in the Bible, where it is, and some of our other thoughts that we want to pull out this morning. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. I'm going to read three or four verses. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18 says, "While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him." This was Jesus talking. "And the ruler said, 'My daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her, and she will live.'" Now go down to verse 23. "And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, 'Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping.' And they ridiculed Jesus. But when the crowd was put outside, Jesus walked in, took the girl by the hand, and the girl arose." This morning, last week was, I'm in a moment where Jesus can come in. This thought that we want to kind of have today is, and you wait until she shares some of the things that she shared with me, is what if we changed the narrative? Mm-hmm. What if we changed the narrative? This week, we were thinking already, literally, we've been talking to community leaders. My wife, you've been talking to people in your environment and sphere of influence, and we've been talking to people in government. And the one thing that we heard was kind of like the stats and everything that's taking place. And then we turned on the news and we heard all sorts of other things. And it was kind of like, whoa, it's coming in from so many different sides. And we thought, well, if Jesus is in the middle and we have a moment here, I wonder if we could change the narrative.
Yeah, it's such an interesting concept because, you know, you think about that whole phrase, the saying, change the narrative, that means there's a story being told or a story that I'm living in. Mm. And what happens if I flip the script, right? How do I get control over what is happening in my life? I think if we're all honest, we would love to be in control, okay? And I'm not just talking to control people. I'm just saying the reason that we see and understand some of the psychology of what's happening, even some of the fear and panic, it's because we desperately know that there's things out of control, but we want some form of control. And maybe toilet paper will give us that kind of feeling of warm and fuzzy, but we want to flip the script. I want to stop this narrative and I want to change it. And much like this that's going on right now, we find this in Matthew. There is a dad who comes, but we need to not lose sight of what's happening in the story. He comes to Jesus because his daughter is dead. And he is not this wailing, flailing, crazy, desperate, and destitute dad that we wouldn't even blame him if he was. But he goes to Jesus and he does something so amazing. He flips the script. Mm. And do you know how he does it? He does it because it says in the first few verses, he knelt before him. Mm. He worshiped him. Mm. He worshiped him. He got God's attention with God's language.
That's good.
Yeah.
So worship, not to sound deep, worship is just adding value to the person of Jesus that we love. And it comes from your heart. It would be as if I looked at my wife and I say, you are so beautiful. It might not be worship if we would consider it, but I'm adding value.
Yeah.
I'm saying this is what you're worth when I see you. And you're 100% right. Like, it is amazing to think that he's in the middle of a crisis. He's in the middle of a tragedy. And he says, let me see if I can't change this narrative.
That's right.
But in order to change the narrative, I need Jesus.
I need Jesus. And so he comes from his house where everybody is sort of celebrating his daughter, celebrating her life, really wailing and flailing, right? That's what was happening. And he's like, I don't know what was in his mind, but I can just imagine him like, I got to get up out of here. Like, I am devastated. I am so mad that my baby girl is gone, but I've got to get up out of here and I got to see if I can go help. Here's what is so encouraging to me. He says, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Mm. That is some bold living. I mean, there's only a couple instances in the Bible that we hear about resurrections. And he was just like, okay, I'm not your bestie like Lazarus and I'm not you. He didn't know Jesus would eventually raise from the dead. But like, you can do it for me. Yeah.
But if we're not careful though, we can make it seem like this was probably his first response. I don't think that was his first response.
Probably not.
I think he, just like us, would not know what to do. Would not have words. Maybe he struggled with, God, what is going on in this moment? We don't know if he even knows God.
Yeah.
We don't know the number of days. Like, we don't know when this happened. Like, we don't even know the backstory. And so if we could set a parameter, what's unspoken is that he will have raw emotion.
He will have raw emotion.
And he will have those moments of like, no. And it leads me to kind of ask you right now in the middle of this moment of life where things are being thrown at us and literally lives are being changed and altered. How are you handling the narrative?
Yeah. How are you literally handling today's narrative of what we're all living through? These are really, really uncertain times. And, you know, it's a valid question. Please add it to the chat so that we can have a conversation this morning.
Yeah.
What is the narrative? What is the sentiment? What is the feeling? What is the sense of chaos? I imagine this dad with red eyes and bags underneath his eyes with not enough aloe vera and ice packs to put it out. I imagine a very raw emotion and worship being like, if anybody could do this.
I can imagine him not even knowing the distance, him taking this journey and the weight of what he's leaving at home. I can see him leaving and everyone's going, why would you go there? Why would you leave? Why would you even do this? You're needed here. Just the raw emotion.
Yeah.
It leads me to think about, we have the reality in front of us. We have the reality in front of us. Faith is not void of the reality. Okay. Faith is not void of the reality. Faith displayed by this man here is the insurance and the assurance that God is going to fulfill his promise for you. Like, there was something on the inside of this guy that said, I have to change the narrative. And Jesus is involved in me changing that.
Yeah, and I think it's also just, it's the faith and the assurance that God is still in control. So no matter what I'm leaving, like, I'm literally watching, you know, her still not be on this earth, but I have, and if I'm at the bottom, I've got no choice but to go up. I've just got one way, a one-way elevator ticket. And it's just to say, like, look, you're in control with her lying there, and you're going to be in control as I worship you.
Yeah.
No matter what comes, what may, it's time to change the narrative. I read this. It was just really the dictionary, truth be told. So it says the definition of narrative, right?
You were sharing this with me earlier.
This was
really good. Don't forget, tell us, what's your name? Where are you from? Hi to everybody, by the way.
Yeah. Hi. So the dictionary's definition of narrative is a spoken or written account of connected events. A spoken or written account of connected events. And I thought, oh, that's intriguing. It's really, really intriguing. Now, you did something at the very beginning of our time today, and I just want to punctuate it. That's you separated out a couple of verses. Now, what you should know, and if you have extra time, go back and read what's happening sandwiched in between, because this dad comes to Jesus and worships him, catches Jesus, like, kind of like, you just spoke my language. You're like, you're in a foreign country and somebody's speaking your language and you're like, hey, that's English. I know English. And so he catches his attention. In the middle of that, he says, if you come to my house and lay your hand to my daughter, she'll get up. And Jesus is like, all right. So he and his disciples start to go. But as he's doing that, a woman comes in with a need. We know the story. Many of us do. The woman with the issue of blood comes in. Well, it was a complete and total interruption. And so he's going, and the woman comes in, and then we see the second part of the story, which is Jesus now at the home of this father.
Okay, pause really fast. I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, but you did.
No, I know. Yeah, I did. I did. No, but you said like it was an interruption to Jesus.
Jesus was so interruptible.
That was really good what you just said, because when you read it, if you're just reading, and I've done this, where I just kind of read, but I didn't read. I mean, obviously, you and I were talking, but it seems to me that Jesus is interruptible, like you just said. Like, if we can just pause there, I'm sorry, I'm totally stealing this, but and I'm stealing it. Like, in this moment, now is the moment to interrupt Jesus. Like, if we've ever wondered if he was going to show up for us, if we can hear his voice and get his attention, there's no greater moment than pausing to change the narrative and go, Jesus, Jesus, I have got a question. I've got a need.
That's right.
This is where I am. You know, we asked you to kind of write down, or maybe we did. I can't even remember. We've been talking. Write down the thing that you've been carrying. Like, what would you want to bring to Jesus in this season? Last week, we asked you what moment you were in. What would you hand to Jesus this week? Because last week was last week. Things changed again this week. What is it that we would bring to Jesus and say, Jesus, if you don't mind, I've got a need, or I've got a thought as well. I'm sorry. Go ahead. The narrative and the way it was.
You guys, you see just how he does it? You see what happens
here? The story and the way you
it's
put it to the top,
like,
and the middle.
That I have the preacher thing in my blood because I can get off tangent and come right back to my point.
Yes.
So anyways, Jesus, he teaches us that he's interruptible. And it begs the question, you know, a lot of times I consider myself a rule follower. I mean, some people probably would say, really, Ty? Yes, I'm a rule follower. If there's rules, I feel awkward if I have to break them. I can be bold, sure, I can do those things. But here's the thing, only the people who sort of broke the rules a little bit kind of got their need met. This guy, it was not protocol for me to be like, excuse me, it's time for me to worship you. It certainly was not protocol for a woman of the day to touch Jesus, to touch anybody of the rabbinical line. Like, it wasn't appropriate. And furthermore, because of the state of her condition, it wasn't appropriate. They broke the rules. It makes me think of the men with leprosy who were like, Jesus, Jesus, as he's walking by, and everybody's like, now's not the time to be yelling. I need you to calm down. And they're like, Jesus, Jesus. They're doing it more, and it catches the attention. See, all of these things are examples of taking control of the narrative.
Yeah.
The blind man, the woman with the issue, the father with the dead daughter all had stuff that they were just like, you know what? This is for the birds. Yeah. I don't appreciate the story. And I just love being a Christian, being able to go to a God to say, you know what? This situation that I'm in right now, it's not peaches and cream. Yeah. It doesn't make me feel warm and fuzzy. Yeah. This is for the birds.
Yeah.
And what do we see in every single account as one of the primary things that we do to change the narrative? It's to call out and cry out to God.
That's good. And what's amazing about a relationship with Jesus and, you know, Father God, is that it is relational. It's not religion. It's all about relationship. It's all about God saying, you're a part of a family, even if you didn't know it. Like, you're a part of a family, and I want to take care of you in the highest of highs and what is the lowest points of life. And so you were talking about earlier, kind of like you've written some things and you put mm-hmm. stories and things like that mm-hmm. together. And so you were talking about the structure.
Yeah, so I'm no literature expert. Okay, I am no literature expert, but I do love a good story. Don't we all? I mean, like, you love a good movie, you love a good story, you love a good book.
We've had a good story.
Yeah.
Maybe one day I'll tell you the story of how she came and chased me.
But we won't today. Okay, go ahead. We have to save them from such fallacy.
Yeah, that'll be to be continued.
There are five components of a good story. Okay. Now, again, I'm not the literature expert, but this is what is said. So in order to create a great narrative, there are five components: the plot, the setting, characters, the conflict, and the theme. Mm. And those five things are critical components of a good story. The plot, what is happening, the setting, where it's happening, characters, who is involved, the conflict, the big crescendo, and the theme, like the so what. What are we learning here? Mm. What is the thing? So if we could just dive into those.
Yes.
I believe that in this story, we see examples of each of them, and they have so much to teach us. Yeah, they have so much to teach us. I want to just take the plot and setting and smush them into one. The setting, as we see the dad, we talked about this earlier, it is this sense of crazy chaos, right? But let's not overlook this. It is chaos when he asks for Jesus' attention, and it is chaos when he gets home. It's chaos
when he left his house.
When he left.
The chaos during the journey.
To Jesus, and when he, see, here's the thing. Sometimes we think, oh yeah, well, I've just made this new declaration. I've worshiped Jesus. I've made a decision in my life. And we think everything is supposed to be like, and the angels sing. But the Bible says that when he got back to his house, it was still cuckoo. Mm. Flute players everywhere, people wailing, everything still crazy, just like he left it.
Yeah. But and we said earlier that worship was the invitation.
But worship is the invitation.
Pull Jesus in. All right,
completely.
Keep going.
But it's important to acknowledge that just because you and I are starting our walk with Christ doesn't mean that all of our worries and our troubles goes away. It means that we have the person with us now, like, who can make all the difference. Mm. And so if Jesus is with us, then our plot changes. Mm. Like, the craziness changes. If you notice, the whole crux of this story is that Jesus said, all that mess is got to go. Every last bit of it, it's got to go. The flute player's out. You make room. You get out. And the cool thing about this is Jesus says that some stuff has got to go because he knows the kinds of environment and the shift and the setting that needs to take place, the faith that is needed so that he can look that little girl in her lifeless face, grab her by the hand, and tell her to get up.
Mm.
I mean, not everybody can witness such an amazing transformation.
Yeah.
But this is a change of the narrative. Let's not be deceived. Yeah. The whole setting changes because the man goes with boldness, and then Jesus says, get out, and then does what he does best. Yeah. Pull some dead things up by their hand.
So last week we asked you to finish the phrase, I'm in whatever. So if we were to jump into your story right now, what would your setting be? Is it confusion? Is it stress? Is it chaos? I don't really know. If you're comfortable with putting it in the thread, we'd love to have this conversation that we're having this morning. But I think, like Ty said, we can see it. And if we can set the setting, we can change the narrative to include Jesus so that we get to that result that Jesus wants to bring, which is obviously, if when we read the end of the story, one in which it's life-giving in a moment that could be chaotic.
Yeah. I just acknowledge too that the earlier definition that we talked about with narrative, it says it's the spoken or written account of connected events. Now, these two sandwiches actually happen in two different places. It's obviously the man's house goes to where Jesus is and then back to the man's house with a little pit stop and a little twist of the place where the woman with the issue is. So really there's kind of like three key places. Here's the thing. It's almost like God is saying, we think that all of these things that we go through in our lives, moments, days, conversations, people in, people out, are all these disconnected and fragmented things. Whereas just like the definition said, no, these are connected events. It makes me wonder if Jesus doesn't say something like, Daddy, lift up your eyes. Like, lift up your head. I've got a bigger plan at work here. Mm. And while this setting is chaotic, while this feels wrong, while this talk, while this thing has your heart troubled, I want you to lift up your chin, and I want you to understand that I've got a big plan at work here, and these things are super connected.
And can we be honest and say that that's not always easy?
No, it's not.
Like, honestly, can we all have a moment together where we say, that's not always easy to see that it's working, that God's working it out for good.
Yep.
When life comes at you and we want to look and go, but God, or whatever, frustration. That we challenged everybody at City Place Church this year to think in decades and not days, so that we wouldn't be in moments like now and feel like it could all crash in now. Like, what if we gave God opportunity to, like, really fulfill? It's kind of like what you were saying, like, really, if we jump in with God and we give him permission, like, to really go with him through the highs and the lows of life. And I think we should acknowledge that these things are tough, but we should also acknowledge that he does work it out.
So he does work it out, and it is sort of like a story. Now, here's the thing. Based on what you just said, babe, we get the luxury of reading this like a story. So if we were reading a book, we would know that there would be a beginning, a middle, and an end, because the author has written it, it's published, it's completed, right? We get to see the end of this story. When God is working it in us, we have, you know, sometimes we think, well, are they connected? Because it feels like he's just left me on a desert island, right? What do we have then to go off of to say, no, I'm still in the middle of the whole story. My life isn't done. My days aren't done. I'm still here on this earth. So that means that these things have to be connected in some way for God's glory, right? So what do we do then? We look at track records. Yeah. We look at the past as an indication of God's character for the future. And so what we have to go on is, man, if I went through this crazy season of my life, where I felt like this man, where something was ripped from me and something that I thought would be with me forever, I watched sit there lifeless. I thought it was this thing, and it was a huge piece of pain. And to remember how God brings us through, then we understand where our plots have changed, where our settings have changed, where people have come and gone, and where we are still here, and we have still made it.
That's so good. The other thing that you mentioned was the fact that there are characters in the narrative. And in this story that we read to you, and you have to read Matthew chapter 9, our team will post that up there, Matthew chapter 9, 18 through, it's 25, 18 through 25. You said that there was characters in the story. In this story, in the setting that is set in chaos and loss, and crowds, there are some people. There are people of faith like the man. There is Jesus. There is a crowd in a house that is wailing. There are people that ridiculed Jesus when Jesus was in the environment to do a miracle. And you and I were talking before we hopped on this morning, and one of the things that you were saying was, Damon, you know, so many times we think that it's about the people that need to be removed from our life versus the people that need to be added to our life, because the Bible does say that Jesus went with his disciples. Like, he rolled with a bunch of guys and took faith, a kind of a small group, into this environment where faith needed to be infused. Like, I love the fact that there's this contrast. Like, you were talking about the conflict of, this is what I'm walking through. Everyone, it's not just me going through it. My family's experiencing it. My friends are experiencing it. But Jesus, if I can just reach to you, like, are you in that conflict right now where you want to believe but you've got the reality, and you've got family members and you've got friends, and there's all this tension. I love the fact that the man said, Jesus, can you come? And Jesus said, I'm coming. But I'm going to bring this whole community of faith. Can I encourage you in this moment? You have characters in your life. Some need to be pulled away. Honestly, we all can't listen to the news during our home stays. If you're working at home, we all can't leave the news on. It will be a voice inside of our head that will cause this moment to continue to be squeezed. It's not a void of reality. Oh no, it's not. But in this, we need to be able to find Jesus's voice, because the Bible does say in the story that Jesus went in and said, everybody get out, because I need to just have a little bit quiet so that they can hear me and that I can respond based on what they see.
Yep. And we actually talked about those powerful two words, which was the game changer. And that is make room. Yeah. It's like make way. Do you remember like what is it? Aladdin, make way for Prince Ali. It was like, yes. Move, part the waters, skedaddle. It's like make room. And where in our lives do we need to say, I've got a lot of friends. Yeah. I've got a lot of voices. I've got a lot of things that are maybe negative, and it's got to make room. But to your point, it's sort of this us and them. It's simple mathematics, right? If Jesus knew, when you have a tough conversation or you're coming into something, you always want more for you than against you, right? Or like, let's say you're at work and you're going to have a big debate and everybody's going to decide what's going to be the deal. People start to like divide. We see it on the show Survivor. I mean, it's like, who can I get an alliance with? I need more on the us. Yeah. Than them. And I don't think Jesus was doing any different. I think he played the master game of Survivor up in there and was like, oh no, I'm in the greatest alliance there ever was. So I'm bringing my posse totally on purpose. Yeah. I need to overpower this very demonstrative display of people who meant well, by the way. Who meant well, and I just want to emphasize that they meant well, but they still needed to go. Jesus didn't just leave that poor man empty-handed, though, and say, feel better with your own thoughts and silence. I'm going to infuse faith. I'm going to infuse people that know what to say, that know how to surround.
Yeah. So let me be practical here, though. Again, phrase, social distancing doesn't mean social isolation. Now is the time when people are reaching out to you to empower and uplift, converge. Like, honestly, like, don't isolate yourself if there's a need. Don't say this is just the moment I'm in. No, now is the time to gather with some people of just coming around. You know, one of the things this week, we've been reaching out to local organizations and how can we support? And some of the feedback that we got is that our healthcare workers are feeling so much pressure.
Yep.
Feeling so much pressure. And so we were like, can we be one of the characters of their story that doesn't add pressure, but how can we step in? And so as a church, it's small. It's what we can do is we're like, can we bring lunch? Like one of the feedback was, even if you just write a card, like that will bring a little bit of life. And so right now in this season, choose the characters. Like, welcome in some life-giving relationships. Create relationships with your neighbor. Check on your neighbors. Like, now's a good time to add the positive characters to your
story. Yes, the characters are important as you begin to change the narrative. They're critical. And the last one we'll talk about today is sort of merging together the theme and the conflict. Now, there's this huge crescendo, right, of the moment where Jesus arrives, because it all hinges on this. Will you do what you say that we think that you can do? You can certainly put your hand on blind eyes. You're defying the winds and the waves. But can you raise dead things? Mm. This will tell us the supremacy of who you are. This will tell us if you're really God or if you're a really, really awesome man.
Yeah.
And of course, the story is built up. Now, like I said, if you watch plays or stories or movies or read or whatever, there is no good story without a really good crescendo. Something builds up to something, and that is what makes the whole thing amazing. But let me just bring a little reality to this. If I were to ask the dad if he wanted a really good story, most people are like, I want to live a great story. I want to be really well known. I used to think about this when I was a little girl. But do you know what it takes to be well known for the story that you live, that, you know, that you live through or that you have? It takes typically really, really, really crazy circumstances. Mm. Often it's this incredible conflict that we overcome, that we learn to overcome. If I were to ask this dad, are you good if I write a really good story, but on account your daughter just has to die for a couple days? I don't think that he's like, absolutely, the answer is yes. I don't think that that's it at all. I think that he is just like every one of us that says, look, if you can do it without going through all of that, Please let it pass. We see the same thing that Jesus prayed the night before he was to be crucified. And he's like, hey, P.S. God, if you can let this cup pass from me, let it pass. Let it pass. Let it pass. I don't necessarily need to play it out this way. But he knew just as much as God the Father knew when he was writing the story in the first place, just as much as Jesus stepped into this story to be the hero for the conflict, that there will be conflicts. Yeah. And the reason that I bring it up now is because if we live our lives like everything is supposed to be perfect, no problems, no conflict, we don't give ourselves the ability for our narrative to be shifted.
Yeah. Conflict. In every story, conflict, when you work it out, there's that a little bit resistance. There's the conflict to fulfill the goal and the dream. And so here, if you're writing down a couple of thoughts, write this down. Write this down. Got your pen? Faith is not void of reality. Faith is assurance and insurance that God will fulfill his promise to you. Got it? Our team posting it up there. And if you're just popping on, tell us your name, where you're from. Second thing is that you control the narrative. Taisha said that we all have a plot, a setting, there's characters, there's that conflict, and there's that theme. If we invite Jesus into our narrative, he brings us to the place of victory. The end of our story said that Jesus went to their house. He said, everybody that's not going to be people of faith in this moment or who can't see that I want to do something amazing, he said, step aside and let me prove my value in this moment. And the end result was that what heaven saw, God fulfilled in their life. And so our encouragement to you today as we wrap up is to just let you know that you can control the narrative. Watch, by including Jesus in your narrative. Because when you include Jesus in your narrative, he begins to come in and says, I got it from here. Move aside fear and worry. I'm going to bring peace.
Yeah. And I believe that we look for Jesus to make those life-altering changes, big or small. Yeah. Hear me this morning, big or small, on so many areas of our life. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord for some time, or maybe you're brand new hearing this gospel message for the first time this morning. And no matter whether it's with people or things, whether it's big decisions or where you physically are, God has the ability to change the trajectory. Now, this is the God that we serve and the amazing piece of what we believe as Christ followers. You know, I was talking about this crescendo of this conflict, and I want you to know that Jesus didn't say, I get an exemption from that. He willingly chose to come down to earth to say, I know that there will be people. I know that there will be characters. I know there will be things that I fight. I know that I will have to change people's minds about who God is and that he's in control, that he loves them, that he is here for them. I know that I will have to do that. But he also knew that there would be a huge crescendo moment, that there would be the time where he was to give his life on the cross for the people that some believed and some did not, and he did it nevertheless. Yeah. He didn't avoid that conflict for you and for I, and for that we are eternally grateful. Yeah. Maybe you're watching this morning and you would say, you know, Pastor, that's me, and I've been walking with the Lord, or I used to, and I'm now away from him. Yeah. You know, this morning we have just such a simple avenue, just like this, where we can just join together and not forsake the moment before we leave one another today to say a recommitment.
That's right.
Or for some of you, the very first time, simple words that say, God, I believe you. I believe that you came in a crescendo moment, that you died for me, that you rose for me, and that I'm your kid.
Yeah.
And just like that girl, that dad with his girl that was gone, it's like God looks at us and stretches out his hand and says, all right, now it's time for you to come live. Yeah. It's time for you to come live again.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's all pray that prayer. If you say, Pastor Damon and Ty, I want to meet Jesus for the very first time or come back. Today's your moment. Whether you're watching on YouTube, online, or Facebook, you can just say it right where you are right after me. Say, Dear Jesus, today I come to you. I acknowledge you died for me. You rose again so that I can have life. And today, I accept you freely. In Jesus' name, amen. It was simple. It's like ABCs. You know, the Bible says that the minute you accept Jesus into your heart, the Bible says that heaven throws a party and they celebrate like crazy. And so at City Place Church, we would love to know if you made that decision. You can either give us kind of like a high five, or you can text 407-393-8426. Just text us your name and just say, I met Jesus. We would love to just send you an encouraging text just to say thank you. And also, if this is your first time popping on, just let us know that you were a guest today.
Yeah.
Our team would love to just say thank you, but we value these moments where we get to do life. And the other thing that to help change the narrative, our team is going to post for you just some daily declarations so that in this moment of life, we can begin to declare who God is. And in fact, as we transition, let me declare one. You are a child of God. You are strong. You will not be broken. Anxiety, worry, and fear have no place in your life because you have available to you the perfect love of God. We're going to post some of those so that every single day you can claim them and walk in God's promises. And so, yeah, so we got one more thing to do.
Yeah, well, we've actually got two more things to do. Okay. If you are joining us online, you know, we still are meeting in groups, and even though we can't physically meet, they are still open for you. And we just want you to know, we want you to join in either the man cave and the sisterhood. All of those are now virtual. And so no matter where you are, where you live, you are welcome to join in online and find the group that is right for you. You can find that at cityplacechurch.com/citygroups.
That's right. And the other thing is we worship God with our giving here at City Place Church. This week, as you and I are going throughout our work week, we are going to be giving to some local organizations as well as supporting some medical personnel. And so we have just kind of set in our heart. And here's what's really amazing is that we've kind of set some things aside missionally. We've set some things aside for moments where we may not meet together, but we've committed as a church that we would continue to be missional in our giving. Mm-hmm. It's something that we've talked about that we would continue to do through this. And so I just want you to know that as you're faithful with worshiping God, with your giving, we're as a church are going to be faithful worshiping God with ours.
And we want to encourage you to continue doing that. So if you're not affected by this crisis, if you're not affected by COVID-19, there are many people in the body of Christ that are, and there are many ways that we can continue to show God's light, to be the hands and the feet of of Jesus long after this sort of crisis moment is over. There will be lots and lots of aftermath. So we want to encourage you now. I want to pray over that giving and also allow you the opportunity. Again, go to cityplacechurch.com/give. If you're like us and you need to set it and forget it, get it online.
And there's a link right give. There's a link right where you are. For text as well as
all of those things are available to you. So we're being super technological right now, and you just go for it. Let me pray for you. Thank you so much, Father, for giving us the ability to give back to you and to use your resources that will continue to advance your name and to advance your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of generosity that is on City Place Church and all of us watching this morning. We ask that you would bless this seed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, hey. Thank you for hanging out with us this morning. Our team is working on so many different things. We are so glad that you joined us online. Now, don't forget, tell us what's your name and where are you from?
You just like that saying. He's just into it, y'all. He's just, what's your name? I think the song is ringing
in his head. And where are you from?
We have enjoyed this. awesome time. We always look forward to Sundays. Yes. Our whole family gets excited about Sunday. So we hope that you enjoyed this Sunday morning, and we will be looking for you in the coming weeks, and we will be looking for you in one of our city groups upcoming, so that That's we right. can continue to stay connected. We are not downcast. That's we are right. not downtrodden. We are not fearful and crazy That's right. during this time. We just believe and trust Jesus. Right. So it's just been an honor, guys.
That's right. Have a great week.
We love you.
We love you.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.